Good morning. If you'd like to turn to Galatians. Before we read this, I'd like to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and preparing our hearts for what you have for us today. And I just pray that you would be glorified. And that we know that your word just doesn't go void. And that you would just be willing to change us to be more like your son, Jesus. That we can be a testimony for you in this world that needs you so badly. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians. I would bet that you guys probably wouldn't be sitting in this room right now if it wasn't for the book of Galatians. If you knew the history of Galatians, it changed the world as we know it today. Especially if you know a little bit of history of Martin Luther. Because of what Martin Luther, when he was going through this book, he basically started the Reformation about 500 years ago. He was a man that was trying to please God. He was trying to do, if you read what he was trying to do to please God, he would fast for days. He would confess his sins 6 hours to the point where the priest would say, hey, I'm done hearing you. Until you commit a fornication or adultery, then don't even come back to me. He was just tired of hearing it. And then when he was teaching through this, that's when he put his thesis on the bulletin board, and the world has changed ever since. But what I want to go through, and what he was actually going through was at chapter 3, but I'm going to just start in chapter 1 here, starting in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I don't know if you've ever been perceived as narrow-minded, closed-minded, archaic, dogmatic. Those are kind of negative connotations of if you are called that today. But as we read what just Paul wrote here, he was very dogmatic in here. If you're somebody who likes to underline things in your Bible, the two words that I would probably underline here would be accursed. That word accursed here means condemned. And if you had the Greek, it would say anathema, which means laid up or suspended. It's kind of an interesting word because it can actually be used as a positive as well as a negative. So when you lay up something, like you can lay up something as a sacrifice, you can lay up something as to donate something. But in here, what Paul is using it is that it's laid up for somebody to be cursed. And it's that word cursed, Paul is using, is set apart for God to destroy. Devoted to God for destruction. Paul is using very strong language here. For the gospel is good news about salvation. And anyone who teaches a distorted gospel is cursed. A curse that is damning for anyone who distorts or changes the gospel. Now we know that the father of lies, Satan, does whatever he can to hold the people who are in his kingdom. He will confuse, deceive, and distort the gospel, so that people believe something other than the truth. A lie that does not save. A lie on the wide path that leads to destruction, and a destruction to hell. And they will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, and didn't we do that? And only to hear Jesus say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Paul here is not beating around the bush. He starts this letter with a severe statement that there is a divine punishment if you change the gospel. In a day of universalism, in a day that you can believe anything you want, where there is no absolute truth, a time of relativism, a time when your truth is your own, in a day of political correctness, where we are afraid to offend someone, don't want to cause controversy, step on someone's toes, not a good time to be explicit, forceful, making a statement about damnation. This passage in Galatians is extremely disturbing, today's type of mindset. But it is absolutely necessary for today, as it is when Paul wrote this, because salvation and how one is to be saved has not changed. It only happens through the belief in the true gospel. If you read the Old Testament, there are curses that God pronounces on people who turned against him. And when you get to the New Testament, in Mark 11, Jesus goes to Jerusalem and he curses a tree. And when the disciples come back the next day, the tree is dead, which is a symbol of divine curse on the nation of Israel for its rejection of God and the Messiah. When God is not pleased, the curses are severe and everlasting. And when Jesus attacks the Jewish religion system in the beginning of his ministry, he assaults the temple. And he does it again at the end of his ministry. And he curses that come out of Jesus' mouth is directly from heaven. You might be thinking, sure, there are curses in the Old Testament, and Jesus pronounces curses in the New Testament, and Paul pronounces curses to those in his day, but is it relevant for today? In 1 Corinthians, it damns anyone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That is the same word, anathema. So what does it mean to be cursed? What are the results of being cursed? Paul says in Romans 9:3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul desires that his fellow Jews would come to know Jesus, and he is so passionate about it that he says, I could almost wish myself accursed. And then he defines what it means to be, it says, to be separated from Jesus Christ. Separated from Jesus forever. Separated from God, out of his presence forever. And then Jesus says in Matthew 25:41, says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The people who received the curse in the Old Testament, those cursed by Jesus in the nation of Israel that rejected him now or then, are there now. And the people who were preaching a false gospel during the apostolic age, Paul addresses, are there in eternal fire that is prepared for the devil and the angels. They are separated from the grace of God, Jesus. And those, throughout human history, those who do not come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ to love him, acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, are cursed and sent to eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And the severity of Paul's curse applies to anyone who perverts the gospel. People who dishonor God, dishonor the gospel, reject Christ, are cursed. The gospels have been attacked relentlessly. They have been present from the very beginning. You can't read the New Testament without seeing how Jesus has been rejected from his ministry, even throughout Acts and the rest of the epistles. And here in Galatians, Paul is defending against the attack of the true gospel. And it continues throughout history, and it is still happening today, because it will always be on Satan's agenda to distort the truth. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11:3 through 4. He says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion of Christ. Basically saying that if Satan deceived Eve, his craftiness could deceive you. And your minds will be astray from the simplicity and purity of your devotion to Jesus Christ, which is to say, the gospel of Christ. It is not Christ plus something else. And then in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if anyone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, for if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it already enough." Which Paul says to the Corinthians, you are accepting a false Christ, a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit, and a false gospel. And you are enduring it. You are tolerating it. And I am shocked and afraid because I understand how deceptive, how Satan works. Then Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 15. So, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. These people will be cursed, but they are disguised as servants of righteousness. They are disguised as angels of light, bearers of truth, but they are really disguised as apostles of Christ, teaching a false Christ, a false Holy Spirit, a false gospel, and Paul is afraid he will listen. A false gospel is heresy, and heresy sprung up very quickly. 2 Peter 2:1. But false prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing up themselves swift destruction. And another warning found in Jude. Well, the whole book of Jude, really. But in verse 4, the certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Revelation 2 and 3, which I won't read, talks about the destruction of false teachers that have already spread. And here in Galatians, Paul uses very strong language to pronounce eternal damnation on whoever distorts the gospel. And at the time of Paul, they are called the Judaizers. Judaizers are ones who believe the way to Jesus was to become Jewish first, then to Jesus. You need to be circumcised physically. You need to follow the Mosaic laws and ceremonies and rituals. If you read Galatians chapter 2, verse 12, it talks about these men who came, these Judaizers, that came from Jerusalem, implying that they came from James, the brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So they are not against Christianity. They even declare they follow Christ, saying they believe in the true Messiah. But they have decided that salvation cannot happen, that no one could enter the kingdom of God unless they practice the Old Testament patterns of Judaism. So why is that a bad thing? Why can't someone practice those things? What harm could there be if you want to keep the Sabbath? Follow dietary laws. Why is Paul so against this? For wasn't this his background as well? Because you can't add any work of any kind to the gospel. For if you do, you undo grace. And so those who do are cursed. I know that you're thinking, what about when it says in Romans 12:14, bless and do not curse? Well, just remember one word here, context. In Romans, it's talking about personal offenses in the life of a believer. When you are personally offended, you don't curse. For vengeance is necessary, for if vengeance is necessary, we let God do that. For the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Paul is not talking about personal offenses in Galatians. He's talking about the distortion of the gospel, which is a lie, which would lead people on the wide path to eternal destruction. A false gospel cuts people off from truth, cuts them off from the truth that saves, which a false gospel is an attack on God and his redemptive plan. And these people who were spreading a false gospel were not hostile towards Christianity. They were professing Christianity from the church in Jerusalem, saying they were sent by James. On the surface, it seemed good. It gained them entrance. And once they were in, they attacked the gospel with works. Might seem harmless, but it's deadly. Deadly to those who believe it and those who teach it, for they are cursed. Adding works to the gospel was addressed in Acts chapter 15. 15:1 says, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Was circumcision necessary or not? This is the debate. And this is answered in Acts 15:6. The apostle and the elders were gathered together to consider this. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. Peter answers the debate. Do you have to be circumcised to be saved? Peter answers them by remembering the Gentiles, like Cornelius, the gospel to the Gentiles, and how they believed and they received the Holy Spirit. And it was manifested miraculously that they received the Holy Spirit, and obviously they weren't circumcised. God knows the heart, and he testifies the reality of their salvation by giving them the Holy Spirit. So why, in verse 10, it says, why would you want to put God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke which is neither our fathers nor we can be able to bear? Why put the yoke of the law which we could not bear? This would be going back to the old covenant, but not in the way of the new covenant. Titus 1:9-11. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcised party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain that they ought not to teach. These people who promote circumcision must be silenced. There is only one gospel. There is only one way to God. And it does not involve ceremonies, rituals, no religious works. And Paul is adamant about these lying agents of Satan preaching a false gospel. They must be exposed and they must be handed over to a divine curse. Not something you hear a lot today, and yet there are so many false gospels out there being taught. Paul says, Galatians 1:3-5, grace to you and peace from God, for our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Salvation is the work of God, the work of Christ, and all the glory goes to God. That is the heart of the gospel. It is not what you do, it is what Christ has done. And God validates what he did by raising Jesus from the dead and exalting him to his right hand. Paul isn't shocked that there are deceitful workers of Satan, disguised as messengers of righteousness. That doesn't surprise him. He is shocked at the response of the Galatians, that they are tolerating the lies that Judaism is adding to the gospel of salvation, that any ritual, ceremonies, standard of morality, religiosity, a distorted truth, other than the gospel of grace, which is faith alone and not by works. Galatians is an interesting letter because Paul doesn't start with a prayer. There's no thanks, no personal notes. It just launches into this rebuke, which really implies the seriousness of the subject. Paul is also passionate and has such a zeal for the truth of the gospel because the truth of the gospel is at stake. The Galatians have been influenced, denying the gospel of grace, that on all of his missionary journeys he has preached the gospel of grace to the Galatians. And he is amazed. And he is amazed because it happened so quickly. Quick to desert, to abandon, literally turning against God. And the way it is worded, it is a process. So you could say it is this way. It says, you are in the process of deserting God. You are removing yourself. It is not complete, but they have started to go the wrong way. And Paul is writing to the believers, basically asking the question, you received the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you were circumcised? Because you did something ritualistic, kept the Sabbath, following dietary laws of the Old Testament? And the Galatians were Gentiles. They were Gentile Christians. They didn't know anything about those Old Testament rules and regulations. So they received the Holy Spirit, and you know you did because of your spirit witness of God's Spirit that you are a child of God. So you know you received the Holy Spirit by hearing the truth, by faith alone, not with any added works. Again, I'll paraphrase Paul by saying, you were saved by faith, you received the Holy Spirit by faith, and now you want to turn to works? Are these works going to perfect you? Does that mean they can lose their salvation? No, they will not lose their salvation. For God does the saving, and God keeps them. So what is the danger? The danger is giving into the misinterpretation of the gospel headed by Satan. Why? You will be like the Ephesians. Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So you don't lose your salvation, but you will be tossed to and fro, not having a clear understanding of the gospel. And if you don't have a clear and good understanding of the true gospel, how can you proclaim it to the world who needs it so badly? And that is an observation I see today. That it's not that the people are not saved, for they have received Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. They have received the Holy Spirit by faith, but they have tolerated false gospels that add words of faith and add works of faith, baptism to faith, morality to faith, something to qualify yourself to receive grace. True believers tolerating false gospels. And Paul does not tolerate this. Paul is saying you are deserting God for a different gospel. You are deserting God who called you by the grace of Jesus Christ. God called you. Romans 8:28 through 30 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he may be firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, and whom though who he justified, he also glorified. That is not a call you can take or leave. It's a saving call. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And then 2 Timothy 1:8 through 9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So Paul is saying in Galatians, you are going to desert the one who called you to himself. Then if you go down to Galatians 5, 7 through 9, says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Your congregation is corrupt like yeast in the dough, rising corruption, thriving corruption. Galatians 5:10. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who has troubled you will bear this penalty, whoever he is. Paul is saying, I know you are saved, and you will not adopt this false gospel, for the curse is coming on the head of the ones who are preaching this false gospel. But my concern is that you tolerate it. Do not tolerate a false gospel. Galatians 1:6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserted him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. You are deserting the one who called you, for he called you by the grace of Christ. It's all about Christ, not about you. All about grace, not about works. A different gospel. You are moving toward a different gospel. Why would anyone turn away from God to a false teaching? And this is what Paul is concerned about. Not that you could lose your salvation, not that you could accept anything that could save you, but that you would tolerate this false doctrine. Galatians 1:7. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That different gospel is not a gospel at all, which is saying that you are not believing a gospel of the same kind. It says that you are believing a gospel of a different kind. It's not a gospel at all. In other words, there is not even a small variation of the gospel. It is the true Christ, the true God. It is grace alone, faith alone, no works. Don't add anything to it. Don't add anything to the works of Christ. It is finished on the cross. Don't add to grace. Don't add anything to faith. For in verse 7, Paul says, it is troubling. These false teachers are not going to take away your salvation, but they're going to shake you up. They're agitating you. It is troublesome. This word trouble is a very strong word. It is the same word Jesus used in John 14:1. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. They were troubled because Jesus just told them that he was going to die. The Galatians were being tossed into chaos, into confusion, because of the gospel of grace was being distorted, that you had to add works. You can't modify the gospel. And the Galatians were being deeply troubled. How exclusive is the gospel? Look in Galatians 5:2. It says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. You could change the word to baptism. If you accept baptism to receive salvation, then Christ is no benefit to you. And then Paul says in Galatians 5:3, he says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. Is that what you would like to try? Try to keep the whole law? Now go back and read chapter 3 and see if you can do that. And then in Galatians 5:4, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. If you add anything, Jesus has become no effect. You are cut off from Christ. You literally nullify Jesus' work by adding works to your salvation. You have now taken on the responsibility of your own salvation, and you have to keep the law perfectly. And if you don't, you're cursed. You can't listen to this lie. The church must be on guard against false doctrine. And the subtlety is that these Galatians believe in Christ, but were confused and troubled because of a variation of the gospel, which is no gospel at all, was being tolerated in the church. Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul includes himself and all that are with him, or even the angels from heaven, should ever preach a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, they are to be accursed. He is using a hypothetical situation, for he would never preach a false gospel, and an angel from heaven would never preach a false gospel. But he is making a point that no matter who it is that preaches a false gospel, they are accursed. Why do people fall for false gospels? Because the people preaching it appear to be religious. They sound religious. They act religious. Maybe they are nice people. They are kind, devoted, humanitarians, affectionate. But Paul says it doesn't matter what they look like, what their background is, what their affiliations are. If they preach a false gospel, they're cursed. Anyone who does is cursed. So many fall for it because it is packaged to be so pleasing. It looks and sounds good. It actually appeals to the fallen man as an angel of light. Then Paul repeats it in verse 9, Galatians 1:9 says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Once would have been enough to get the point across. But when Paul repeats it twice, it's serious. Paul is furious, not over someone personally attacking him, but because Jesus' message, the gospel message, is under assault. Knowing that it would be devastating to the churches of Galatia, that they would lose their clarity of the gospel, and they would tolerate lies. When any church does this, tragedy happens. So Paul is saying here, don't nullify the works of Jesus Christ. Don't make the death of Jesus have no effect. Don't think that salvation comes by your works. If you add any works to the gospel of grace, you have just nullified it. Jesus' work was sufficient. He did it all. And that truth cannot be twisted. It cannot be expanded. For there is no salvation in any other message. Jesus preached his message, and it's pretty clear. And then the apostles make it even more clear that salvation is by grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone. And those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, which you can only love Jesus if you believe the gospel, those who do not love Jesus is cursed. And that is why the gospel is such good news. So in that context, let's read 1:6-9 again. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who calls you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Amen.